Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited because tonight we start a new book, the study of Job. And we know Job is a special book because God told Satan, if you consider my servant Job, who is upright and who fears God and eschews evil, just to mention a few of what we will be looking at in the book of Job, and then, of course, the proponents that his cohorts, Bildad and Zophar and the other, brought to the table. And we will learn so much from this book. Now, as I highly suggest, as always, that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank all of you for giving me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you have been giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I assure you I'm using. So thank you so very much. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ or God? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning the lowly, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven and of God and of paradise, as taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. The blessing is that we will receive what Jesus gives to those who practice humility. And that ultimately will be the kingdom of heaven and of God and of paradise. Jesus said again, blessed are they that mourn, meaning they that cry out for God's help genuinely, for they shall be comforted. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Again, the blessing is those who are seeking the Lord with all their heart, with all their might, with all their soul. They will be the ones that will be rewarded, and that reward partially will be this side of eternity, comfort during the experience that we're having on our road to salvation. Jesus said again, blessed are the meek, meaning those who are, for God's sake, timid, for they shall inherit the earth, meaning the ones identified in the book of Revelation chapter 21. That is key, my brothers and sisters. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 says this. So blessed are they that are meek. And we know that the meek are those who come to the throne of God humbly and offer obeisance unto the Lord God Almighty. They shall inherit the earth, that in the book of Revelation chapter 21 calls the new existence. It is heaven forever. Now, again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on God's promises or on Jesus' promises? Now, before we go to the study, I rehearse it every program. We want to know, I want you to know and understand that the Bible is written in code. That means it's written in mysteries and secrets and parables and prophecies and proverbs and paradoxes and riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the study. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Job chapter 1. And we're going to see what the Bible says in Job chapter 1 about his exploits. And we're going to read verse 1 through 4. And I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. In as much as we can be perfected, we must, in as much as we can, be perfect and upright, fear God and eschew evil. Again, my brothers and sisters, this is the instruction. In as much as we can, be perfect and upright, fear God and eschew evil. And this is what Job said about this, or the writer said it, in Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 1,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. My brothers and sisters, what we want to concentrate is on what the Bible initially talks about Job as being a perfect and upright man who feared God and eschews evil. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, it exemplifies this. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. Turn your Bible sources to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 9. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. This is what it says, and we're looking at Job, not by himself, but also Noah. This is what chapter 6, verse 9 says. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. All I'm doing, my brothers and sisters, is exemplifying or amplifying the fact that there are those who walk with God who are perfecting themselves. And part of that perfecting is being upright, that's righteous, and fearing God and discounting evil or hating evil. Okay, now let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Matthew. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read several verses from Matthew chapter 5. Remember, this was the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave in the book of Matthew, and he gave a lot of instructions. So the part of what I want you to realize is that incorporated in all of chapter 5, you're going to get perfecting. You're going to get righteousness. You're going to get fearing God. You're going to get eschewing evil. And that's what Job was in God's eyes. And that's the connection that I want to make with this. This is what chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, verse 12 continues, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. I see now that we've reached our first break. Let's take that break, and then we will continue with our lesson.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures record. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. We're talking about relationship principles. This is a series of several lessons, and this one I'm going to talk about is principle number 8, and that is people want success, so help them win. I think everybody wants to win, and I think most people don't win on a consistent basis. And I think because of that, their self-image goes down, their confidence goes down, and things that they could do, they don't do. And the person they could become, they don't become. Because no one wants to continually lose their way to success. You can't really do that. You've got to get some wins under your belt. You've got to get some victories. I mean, if you look at the Old Testament example of David, I mean, he's known for being the giant slayer. He killed Goliath in a battle. And everybody knows that young, non-experienced, non-military, little David beat up the big boy. Everybody knows that. But what they don't know sometimes is that he just didn't take that giant leap from being a shepherd boy to a giant killer. You see, while he was a shepherd, one day a bear came out of the woods to take the sheep, and he was good with a slingshot, and he killed the bear. And one day he killed a lion. So he had some wins under his belt before he got to, you know, Shaq Goliath. He had some wins under his belt before he got there. So when he got to Goliath, this wasn't a big step. It was the next step. You see, success is all about several wins, several steps taken. I did that pretty well, and I've accomplished this, and you kind of step your way up until the moment that you kind of get well known as a giant slayer. You it's no big deal to you. You know what's no big deal to you? It's a big deal to them because all they saw you do is knock out the big boy. But it's no big deal to you because you've been winning for a period of time. So help people. Help people get some little wins under the belt. It'll help their confidence. It'll make them more secure. It'll make them more bold. And someday, they'll get to be a giant slayer. Welcome. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with this instruction as much as we can. Be perfect and upright, fear God and eschew evil. And we were looking at the complement, the New Testament, how it connects the dot to this. And we're reading Matthew chapter 5. And right now we're reading verse 38 through 42. And listen what it says. It says verse 38 through 42. It says, ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy coat also, thy cloak. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. And then 48 concludes the thought. Listen, my brothers and sisters, be ye therefore perfect, as even your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, what Jesus is doing in the whole chapter 50 of chapter 5 of Matthew chapter 5, in fact, You can look at chapter 6 and chapter 7 and get the rest of it also. All of these attribute to being perfect, upright, fearing God, and eschewing evil. And that's what I am sharing with you, and this is what it should mean to you spiritually in your life, that we must be as Jesus is, perfecting ourselves as we live out this experience. And in those three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, in the book of Matthew, we get that detailed information on how to accomplish it. Okay, let's go back or go to the next instruction. Let's go to instruction number 2, and we're going to look at Job chapter 1 again, and we're going to be reading verse 5 through chapter 1, verse 5. Listen, and the instruction that I want you to get from this is an example of why we should pray one for another, especially for our families. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what I want to get over in this instruction or in this particular lesson, an example of why we should pray one for another, especially for our families. Listen to what Job did in Job chapter 1, verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So we must pray one for another. My brothers and sisters, we must pray for the world, because the world is in turmoil. And it's not because we can correct that turmoil, but we know that God is sympathetic to the fervent prayers of the righteous. And those who pray accordingly are considered fervent. And God will respond accordingly. It will be according to his will, but he will respond accordingly. And that's the key that we want to take advantage of. And we get there by praying. Now, let's go to Numbers. And we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 21. And we're going to get an amplification on this in the law. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5 through 9. And listen to what was told Israel. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore had ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord God sent fury serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he might take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. My brothers and sisters, Moses prayed for the people, and it gave results. And that is the reason why we should be praying one for another. Okay, now we're going to go to our New Testament compliment. We're going to go to 1 Peter. We're going to go to James chapter 5. Let's turn to James chapter 5. Turn your Bible sources with me to James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 13 through 16. James chapter 5, and this is connecting the dot. This is how James says it to we who are the disciples of today. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is there among you any afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. My precious brothers and sisters, that tells us that today, communicating with God on each other's behalf is essential, not only for the recipient, but for the proponent, that those who pray receive a blessing for doing so. And that is something that we need to understand and do. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we are our brother's keepers, and God wants all mankind to be saved. So praying one for another is essential with God. Jesus did it in John chapter 17 for all of us. If you go to John chapter 17, you will see the whole chapter is dedicated to a prayer that Jesus offered up for not only his immediate disciples, but for all of us, my brothers and sisters. That is essential. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 1 again. We're going to look at verse 6 through 12. And as I read the verses to you, what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction. The instruction is this: God allows Satan to tempt Job. That is something that we are constantly confronted with, my brothers and sisters, temptation. We are constantly being allured and enticed. We are being tempted to do other than what God wants us to do. We're going to see how Job handled it, or what happened to Job in this instance. Okay? So verse 6 through 12, this is what it says. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, and I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we will continue with the instruction.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scripture is recorded. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace.
Let me speak to that person that feels like they lost their worth or their value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents, and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just ball the dollar bill up. Like, so it can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth like 95 cents, right? How much do you think it's worth? A dollar. Listen, y'all gotta pay attention. I just balled it up, so clearly it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right. So maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up? What if I stomp on it? And then I put it in the trash can, and it's in here with some trash, and it's around some beer and some gum and a bunch of other nasty stuff, and some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? And at least 92 cents? It's okay, alright, so what if I ball it up? What if I step on it? What if I put it in trash? And then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Wait. Wait a second. I just balled it up. I just stepped on it. I put it in trash. I pulled it out. Then I tore it in half. And you mean to tell me I can pick the dollar up, I can wipe it off, and I can put some tape around it, and it's still worth a dollar? then why? If this dollar doesn't lose its worth or its value, then why do you feel like you've lost your worth of value? Because many of you feel like you've been stepped on, you feel like you've been pushed aside, you feel like you've been abandoned, you feel like you've been talked about, you feel like you've been abused, like someone took from you, someone hurt you, somebody took advantage of you, and deep down inside your core, you feel like you've lost some of your value. And I am here to tell you today that this dollar still has worth and value, because there are some men years ago who put value over this life and said that no matter what happens to it, it can still be taped back together. It can still be wiped off. And I am here to tell you that you were created and you're born and you're here and you have life and you have purpose and you have value. And though you've gone through some hard times and though you've experiencing some depression and you might be wanting to hurt yourself or you might want to give up, I am here to tell you you still got worth and value. And there is nothing that can happen that can take your worth and your value away. So what you gotta do now is you gotta pick yourself up. You gotta dust yourself off and you gotta keep moving.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at the instruction God allows Satan to tempt Job. And this is continuing with verse 6 through 12, and it's Job chapter 1. And it says in verse 7, "Now the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Job answered the Lord and said, Do Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to the face." My brothers and sisters, the last verse says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord." That is what we are faced with today. We are confronted, especially with those who have not committed themselves to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are facing the attacks of Satan. And it's because of this example, we know how to avoid and get through it if we take this example to heart. Now, we're going to go to Psalm 78. And Psalm 78 is going to give us some details on this, okay? Psalm 78, verse 6 and 8 tells us this, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Meaning these instructions, my brothers and sisters, to get out of Satan's way, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And verse 17 through 19 completes the thought. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, you see in this instance that it is man tempting God. That's even worse than Satan tempting you and me. But that's to show where this situation is very significant, in that we do not fall either or. We do not tempt, and we do not allow temptation to be a part of our lives. Now we're going to go, and we're going to look at our New Testament compliment. You're going to turn with me. We're going to turn to Peter, First Peter, and we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10, and listen how we are to conduct ourselves and be and avoid the temptation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what we must do. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affections or afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he had suffered a while, made you perfect, established you, and strengthened and settled you. My brothers and sisters, this is how we get away from that temptation. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should come to God. Basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is what we use in order to eradicate and to hold at bay anything that's going to confront us to cause us to fall. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Job. We're going to be looking at Job chapter 1 again. And we're going to be looking at verse 14 this time. Job chapter 1, verse 14 through 22. And what I want you to do in this instance is to pay attention to this instruction as I read the text to you. In times of loss and tribulation, remember this. My brothers and sisters, in times of loss and tribulations, this is what you should remember. And this is how it was put to Job in chapter 1, verse 14 through 22. Listen to what it says. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only have escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. But I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, and nor charged God foolishly. My precious brothers, in times of loss and tribulations, remember the saga of Job, okay? And to amplify that, we're going to go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 20. And listen, again, in this instance, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 20. Listen to this scenario. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it is so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Okay, my father, my brothers and sisters, remember, God, if you read the rest of it, you'll see that God saved him also. All right? And that is what's key. And now we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. And what I'm going to do, this complimentary, is going to connect the dot and tell us that in these times and trials and tribulations, if we hold true, this is going to be the end result for us. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And this is what it says. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not be with him, as freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I see we're at another break. Take this break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures
quote.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes.
So it isn't sin that torments. It is the guilt, the weight, the burden, a sin of being wrong, of having wronged someone, of having mistreated someone, of having stolen from someone, lied on them, or betrayed them. It is not the sin, it is the guilt, the aftermath, the fleeting thoughts, the struggling of a tormented soul, wrestling with your behavior and struggling with your choices. The guilt of sin. If this woman was tormented, she wasn't tormented by sin itself, but the guilt of sin. If sin has guilt, and we have all sinned, I think, then it's safe to assume that we have all had guilt. Guilt has torment. Guilt has pain. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's driven people to liquor bottles. It's driven people to stick needles in their arms. It's driven some people to put a gun to their head because they could not live with the guilt of sin. Not just sin, the guilt of abandoning children, the guilt of giving a child away, the guilt of abortion, the guilt of lying, cheating, the guilt destroying a life, the guilt of infecting a person, the guilt of betraying a confidence, the guilt of breaking a heart, the guilt of destroying a life. It's not that you don't go on. You can go on because you're tough, you're strong, you're relentless. Strengthen your back, hold your head up, you're riding above it. But nobody knows the weight of guilt. comes out in our behavior, comes out in our temper tantrums, comes out in our hostility, comes out in our pride, comes out in our arrogance. And beneath all of these trappings, down at the root, there's guilt.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, this is the instruction that we're on. In times of loss and tribulation, remember this. And this is the connection to Job chapter 1, verse 14 through 22. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Listen, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he be with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything against the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My precious brothers and sisters, that says it all. In times of loss and tribulations, please remember this, that if God is for you, who can be against you? My precious brothers and sisters, these words are words to more than just stimulate you, more than to encourage you. It is to give you confidence that if you follow God, if you go and you look at his laws and commandments, and you are like Job was in the beginning, perfect, upright, and you don't have to be perfect because no one is perfect this side of eternity, but it is perfecting your righteousness. So if you are blameless in what you are doing in the world, and you are righteous toward God, keeping his commandments, and you fear God, that is key, and you keep, and you hate evil, that is how Romans chapter 8 comes into play, and it gives you the, not only the confidence, but the guarantee, my brothers and sisters, of salvation. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That if you go too far with the questioning, you could get to blaming, and that is too close. I will repeat that regardless of what happens to you, do not forsake God. That's the key, my brothers and sisters. Regardless of what happens to you, do not forsake God. God said that I will not forsake thee, nor fail thee. So, my brothers and sisters, do not forsake God. Do not fail and leave God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Job. This time we're going to be looking at Job chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10. Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. I see that we're at the final break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we will conclude with the instruction.
Both the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures record. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in...
A lot of people talk a good game, don't they? They say they're going to do this and that. But when push comes to shove, they disappear. When it's game time, they're nowhere to be seen. They say they're going to be the greatest ever, but their work ethic shows average effort. They say they're going to be rich or famous, but their habits are poor and ordinary. Talking is not enough. You must do. Talking is not enough. You must put in the work. You must develop the habit of following through with your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's called integrity. When you honor your word, you build pride for yourself and respect from others. When you don't, when you talk the talk and never walk, you lose pride and you lose respect. Repeat to yourself every day. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. When it gets hard, I gave my word. If something comes up, I gave my word. I will get it done. I don't even have to think twice. I get it done. I will get it done. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Show them what you've done. Let your results speak for you. Results say more than words ever will. Keep your word. Do the work. Get the results. Game time. This is my word. I've said it. Now I will do it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go on with the lesson. We're going to go now to Job chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 7 through 10. Job chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. During your trials and tribulations, you can ask questions of God. My brothers and sisters, be very careful in this analysis, because the point, if you read into the New Testament, that in the Gospels, Jesus says that you can blaspheme God. You can blaspheme him, meaning Jesus Christ, but you cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. For there is no forgiveness of sins, now or forevermore, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And it gives understanding, or at least it points to a parable, giving you a reason of how you can default, meaning that at the time the Pharisees were saying that Jesus had a devil within him. So that was depicting the Spirit of God. Anyway, this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to with Job, and it's only talking about questioning God. During your trials and tribulations, you can question God, but do not curse God. Listen to what Job did in Job chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot until his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said unto her, thou speakest foolish as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. My brothers and sisters, this is critical to understand that we are going to meet trials and tribulations. We're going to be confronted by travesty and destruction. Jesus says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And again, it is written, keep the faith until the end, and ye shall receive a crown of life. And still it is written, keep God's works to the end, and you will have power over the nations. What I'm trying to get to you, my brothers and sisters, across to you, is that you remain, as Paul said, steadfast, immovable, always abounding. And you know if you are abounding, if you are more than just treading water. And that's because God, when he said he will never leave thee, nor fail thee, nor forsake thee, he has ensured that you know that because of the fruit, the gifts and fruits of God that you shall be receiving during the experience you're having. Job received gifts and fruits of God during this experience. And that is the reason that he did not forsake God. That's the key that we're looking at. Now what we're going to do is go to Mark chapter 3. Let's go to our New Testament complement. Mark chapter 3, and we're going to see how today we should respond to this. Mark chapter 3, this is what Jesus told us. Listen, my brothers and sisters, and be very careful in the understanding of it. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. My brothers and sisters, you need to pursue God personally to the end and not listen to even me as I'm sharing this with you. What you do is you go in and search the scriptures and find out what you need to know in order to get over what is confronting you. To continue, verse 26 says, and Jesus said again, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring forth and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full of corn. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put forth his sickle, because the harvest is come. Listen, my brothers and sisters, and he said, whereunto is the kingdom of God likened? And the comparison shall be made. And I just read the wrong chapter. I apologize. Let's go to chapter 3. I should have caught that. I didn't. I apologize. We're going to look at chapter 3, verse 23. This is what relates to during your trials and tribulations, you can question God. Listen, my brothers and sisters. And he called unto them and said this parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rises up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his goods. Verily, I say unto you, all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewithsoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. That is what I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters. We can question God. We should not curse God, but we can question God, and we have to be very careful in how we do that. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that if you go too far with questioning, you could get to blaming, and that is too close to blasphemy. That is what happened in the wilderness with Israel. We read earlier in Numbers how God punished Israel for sinning against him, for tempting him. And that's where we get into trouble. When we question God, there's no problem. But when we take that questioning too far, it will get into blaming. And then that's where we have our troubles. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Job chapter 2. We're going to look at another instruction from Job chapter 2. We're going to look at Job chapter 2, verse 11. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Beware of so-called friends. My brothers and sisters, you should be focused on who is within you to guide you. Remember, we're talking about when Jesus told us that he would not leave us comfortless, that he would have asked the Father to give us another comforter that will guide us in all truth, teach us all things of God and the like. And further in basic instructions before leaving earth, it tells us that let no man teach you, for we have an unction within us. That is that other comforter. So that's something that we have to be very careful with about folks that we know. If you want to call them friends, that's fine, but they cannot be as close to you as God within you or as close to you as the Holy Ghost indwells within you. That's what I'm trying to share. Now what we're going to do is look at Job chapter 2, and we're going to see in verse 11 how it starts. Now when Job's three friends heard all of this evil that was come up upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with Job and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes far off and knew him not, they lifted up their voices and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and speckled dirt upon his forehead towards heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. So they began approaching Job with pity. But as we know the story, and we will get into more of that when we go into further instructions, that they began to slander Job and to pelt him with sarcasm. And what we're going to do now is just particular instruction. Let's go to our compliment, and we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to see how Paul told the Colossians how to avoid this. In verse 6 through 9, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so ye walk in him. And Jesus is the answer, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Listen, my brothers, what Paul said, and sisters, what Paul said in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Jesus Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the key. That's who you should follow and be befriended by. And this is what I want you to get out of this spiritually, that we should trust only Jesus Christ exclusively. Everyone else is suspect because of the knowledge of good and evil. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That we should trust only Jesus Christ exclusively. Everyone else is suspect because of our knowledge of good and evil. That concludes our lesson for this evening. And as I close, I want to tell you, thank you in behalf of myself and the host for your encouragement and your participation in this program. And I wish you a good night.
Thank you for choosing to listen to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. It's our joy that you enjoy our program. I hope you are blessed by it, and join us every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Thank you, and good night.